getting acquainted with yourself. You are now starting on the greatest adventure of your life. If you will listen with a mind freed from previously formed opinions, skepticism, and prejudice. Stop and think while you listen. In his book, I Can, Ben Sweetland's first job is to sell you to yourself. He makes this strange statement because not one person in 100 has any idea of his own power and capabilities. The failure thinks he's a failure because he was intended by fate to be a failure. Tommy Rott. Do you know the difference between a success and a failure? It is not physical. You cannot see the difference. It is not educational because many highly educated men and women are failures. It is a matter of attitude. One man sees himself as a failure. The other man sees himself as a success. In other words, the only difference between you and the man who goes places is a matter of consciousness. Isn't this great news? Isn't it exciting to know that you now possess everything you need for outstanding success and happiness, and all you need to do to become a success is to change your mind? A man who thought he was a pauper without a single thing of value was offered $10,000 for an eye which could be transplanted into the head of another. He refused. This man possessed riches without realizing it. Think of a few of the wonders of that body of yours. You have a laboratory which controls your digestive system, and it does its job far more perfectly than the most complete man-made laboratory on the face of the earth. We marvel at television, yet think of our eyes. They reproduce within the brain with crystal clearness everything within their range. We brag about our man-made recording equipment. Our ears are the finest microphones which pick up all sounds, transmitting them to the brain where they may later be voiced through the mouth. The dominant thought that is presented at this time is the truth that you can do things, that you can be a success. So begin building a consciousness of success by repeating to yourself many, many times, I can be a success. Your pledge to yourself. If you were to enter into a business arrangement with another, you would undoubtedly want a contract. Such a document is not an evidence of a lack of trust. It is a written confirmation of an understanding so that there will be no misunderstanding. Though it may sound odd, Ben Sweetland suggests that you enter into an agreement with yourself. Here is why he makes such a request. Most of us are constantly making promises to ourselves which we do not keep. We nonchalantly promise ourselves that we will stop doing certain things which are harmful to us. We promise ourselves that we will begin doing things which will be a benefit to ourselves. But no sooner are the promises made than they are forgotten. Ben Sweetland urges you to take the steps which will enable you to gain tremendously from this work. Naturally, you want success, better health, and happiness. But merely wanting these blessings will get you nowhere. You must determine that you will become a success. Your determination must be so great that you will not let a stone remain unturned until you turn the tide from a mediocre existence to a life of radiance. Your pledge to yourself, therefore, will be more than a promise of something to be done in the future, but the declaration of a continuity of actions which are starting right now. As constructive thoughts come into consciousness, you will not postpone action on them. You will, with eagerness and enthusiasm, put them into use at once. Your life's pattern. If you were going on a journey, you would know in advance where you are going. In our life's journey, we fail to get what we want because we do not lay out a plan to get what we want. We wish for things without realizing that it is well within the realm of possibility to get out of life what we want. Even though at this time it may seem fantastic, you are to follow this simple prescription found in Ben Sweetland's book, I Can, and as you follow it, you will find it fantastic as to the actual results you will achieve. Take a sheet of paper and rule two vertical lines, making three columns. Over the first column write, objectives for my physical being. Over the second column write, Objectives for My Possessions. Over the third column write, Objectives for My Affairs. In the first column, list everything you would like to have changed or improved so far as your physical being is concerned, such as reduce in weight, younger face and body, more energy, overcome timidity, conquer habits, and so forth. In the second column, list such items as home of your own, new automobile, substantial bank account, fine wardrobe, and so forth. In the third column, list such items as a better job, a business of your own, lots of friends, the right husband or wife, a career in the field of greatest interest to you. Take these lists and at least three times daily read through them. Do so with a heart of happiness, just as though you were reading a list of objectives now coming into being. Later you will learn the psychological reason for it. What you will be doing is actually putting the forces of nature to work in making your objectives realities. Dr. Sweetland says that it is impossible to overestimate the value of the principle just outlined. The Art of Relaxation. You should be relaxed right now because the mind absorbs information while the body is relaxed far more than when the body is tense. Many people have difficulty in relaxing because they think they can't relax. The moment you know you can relax, you will. Here's a truth to remember. When you are tense, you are burning energy. When you are relaxed, you are storing energy. You can open and close your hands at will. You can move your head, your body, your legs at will. Why? Because you know you can. As soon as you know you can relax the muscles of the body, you will have no difficulty in doing so. Practice relaxation. Talk to various members of your body, toes, foot, ankle, leg, body, and so forth, and instruct them to relax, and they will. Just as Ben Sweetland states, when you master the art of relaxation, many blessings will come into your life. If you thoroughly relax as soon as you retire at night, you will drop off into a peaceful sleep and will awake refreshed. If you relax thoroughly before eating a meal, the food will do you much more good. You will be working with nature in helping to make your food digest perfectly. Here's a test you can make. Clench your fist tightly, and as you open it, notice how the blood has been forced out of certain portions of the hand. This will show you how tenseness can impair circulation of the blood, causing many ailments. Become relaxation conscious. Whenever you find yourself tense, whisper to your inner self, remember, the title of Ben Sweetland's book, I Can, means many things, as well as thinking in terms of I can succeed, I can be happy, and so forth. You can also say with certainty, I can relax. Your mental powerhouse. We all have two departments of mind. There's the conscious mind with which we do our conscious thinking, reasoning, and planning. Then we have that portion of mind below the level of consciousness, usually referred to as the subconscious mind. Since the subconscious mind is the real seat of intelligence, I like to think of it as the creative mind, and will do so hereafter. Remember this fact. The conscious mind is the master. The creative mind is the servant. In this chapter, Ben Sweetland says, your creative mind has reasoning faculties independent of your conscious mind. After having been told that the creative mind is the seat of intelligence and power, it may sound inconsistent to now hear that the creative mind is subservient to the conscious mind, but it is not at all inconsistent. An army is a powerful force, yet this massive power comes under the direction of a single man, the general. The forces of your creative mind enable you to climb to great heights or make you descend to the depths of despair. We might compare the power of the creative mind with water. Water under control can irrigate our lands or supply power for generating electricity. Water out of control can cause floods, destroying cities and endangering lives. Thoughts held in your conscious mind are accepted as instructions by your creative mind. Remember this, it is of vital importance. If you hold a negative thought, fear that you might fail in some test, the creative mind, without questioning, will accept the thought as an instruction, and with its reasoning faculties will actually guide you in making you fail. If you fear your ability to succeed, you will not succeed, because you are guided to do the very things which will make you fail. Happily, the reverse is true. When you hold a positive thought, such as, let me say, I know I'll land a good job, your creative mind guides you in the things to say and do which will enable you to land just the job or position you want. Learn to make use of your valuable servant, your creative mind. Use it a few times constructively, and you'll discover to your great surprise that you are the owner of a vast reservoir of power which has been allowed to lie dormant. Make this test, found in the book, I Can. For a few days, build on the thought, I'm filled with power. Say it many times, many times. I'm filled with power. I'm filled with power. I'm filled with power. If you should find a cloud of gloom surrounding you, it will quickly fade away. If you relax and repeat to yourself several times, I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. This is one of the most important principles described. The more you use it, the more you will realize that you have the equivalent of an Aladdin's lamp encased within your creative mind, ready to function for you at all times. Work less, accomplish more. Does this statement sound too good to be true? Once you learn how to make full use of the powers of your creative mind, you'll find yourself accomplishing more than ever before. You'll enjoy your work more. You'll do it in much less time than formerly required. Dr. Sweetland emphasizes two important points in this chapter. One, your creative mind, if permitted to, will direct you in your work, making it better, easier to perform, and far more pleasant. Two, you can at will direct your creative mind to assist you in the solving of your problems, help you to make the right decisions, to create ways and means of greater accomplishment. Let me quote from I Can and give you four simple rules to follow when giving instructions to your creative mind. The creative mind works best when the conscious mind is either in abeyance or pleasantly occupied. This means, therefore, that the time to implant instructions is either just before retiring at night or when you're about to enjoy relaxing recreation. Here are the rules. First, relax, both mentally and physically. Second, think through on your problem, but do not fear it. Be specific in the instructions you give your creative mind. Know just what it is you wish to accomplish. Third, gain a success attitude regarding your problem. You can if you have developed faith in your creative mind. You will know that it is ready, able, and willing to serve you, and will serve you. Fourth, after following the steps already given, just remove all thoughts of the problem from your conscious mind, knowing that the solution will be forthcoming at the proper time. After you have tried this a few times, you will never again try to find solutions consciously when you know that the full force of the intelligence and power of the creative mind is ready and anxious to serve you. How to overcome worry. Ben Sweetland's definition of worry is holding mental pictures of things you do not want instead of things you do want. If you doubt this, think about it a moment, and you'll agree with him. If business is bad, do you visualize yourself enjoying prosperity? No. You see yourself getting into financial difficulties. Your mental pictures might even go so far as visualizing yourself losing your home and being reduced to near poverty, right? When you have an ache or a pain, do you visualize yourself as being radiantly alive? No. You see a physical condition getting worse. You might even carry the mental picture to a point of seeing yourself in a hospital. It's easy to stop worrying if you will concentrate your thoughts on the conditions you want, not the conditions you have been worrying about. There is a solution to every problem. Otherwise, it would not be a problem. This being true, know that there is a solution to every problem facing you. Use the principles found in I Can to put your creative mind to work in solving your problems. Take your most urgent problem and ask your creative mind for guidance. It will not turn you down. You'll be amazed to find how quickly you will be given a simple, workable solution. Remember, a happy mind is one free from worry. After you've called upon your great creative mind for assistance, make yourself happy, perhaps by making others happy. Life will take on a more brilliant hue as you learn to master conditions instead of being mastered by them. The value of self-appreciation. Would you trust the life of a loved one with a surgeon who did not believe in himself? Would you turn an important legal matter over to a lawyer who did not think much of himself? Would you want a home designed by an architect who did not consider himself a good architect? The answer to all of these questions is no, emphatically no. Listen to what Ben Sweetland says about self-appreciation. You will never accomplish any more than you think you can. The moment you begin to see yourself as being good in any particular work or profession, you will begin to climb. Do not misunderstand me when I say see yourself as being good. I do not mean wishing you were good. When you have a desire to do certain things, whether it be writing, painting, operating a business, or becoming a musician, that is nature telling you in no unmistaken terms that you can be a success in that field. A salesman who had just been getting by was instructed to repeat to himself morning, noon, and night, "I am a great salesman." Soon he was top man in his company sales force. An outstanding lecturer told me that before every lecture, he repeats to himself, "This will be the best lecture I have ever given." His listeners are constantly telling him that he seems to be getting better in every talk he gives. A woman who aspired to be a writer never sold a thing until she began to see herself as a good writer. First know what you want to do or be. Then begin seeing yourself as outstanding in that work. From what you have already heard, you know the reason for this. Do not say, "I'm going to be a good salesman, writer, or whatever it is you've chosen." That word "going" is an indefinite word. It can mean tomorrow, next week, next year, or even in several years, but probably never. Think in terms of "I am." You are virtually giving your creative mind instructions to make you good, and you will be good. How to gain self-mastery. Socrates said, "Know thyself," which is a sound statement as far as it goes, but it does not go far enough. To know thyself can be negative as well as positive, because in too many cases, one is apt to take himself too much for granted. You will hear people say, "I'm not mechanical, I'm not musical, I'm not artistically inclined." All of this may be true at the time of making such remarks, but it should not mean that one cannot change to be mechanical, to be musical, or to be artistic. Ben Sweetland adds two words to the Socratic statement by saying, "Know thyself, master thyself." He says, "I know you want success. I know you want to overcome fears, phobias, complexes, and inhibitions. I know you want to be in radiant health. I know you want to be happy. The way to attain these blessings is to stop accepting yourself as you are and know that you can change, and through mastering yourself, you will change." Take a sheet of paper and run a line down the middle of it. On the left side, carefully list your negative attributes, those conditions you would like to have changed. You might list such items as worry, timidity, jealousy, envy, laziness. On the other side, list what you feel are your good qualities, such as learning quickly, good health, good hearing, good eyesight, and countless other positive factors. You will be pleasantly surprised to find that you are not such a bad person after all. With your list completed, take your negatives one at a time and work on them. Use your creative mind in changing your negatives to positives. You will not have to do much with your positive items because each time you eliminate a negative, you are strengthening your positives. Your mental yardstick. A little while ago, in talking about laying out your life's pattern, it was suggested that you carefully list all of your objectives, those for your physical being, for your possessions, and your affairs. As you look over these lists, undoubtedly you will see some items which you would like to have come into being ahead of many of the others. All right, if you will listen attentively, I will give you Ben Sweetland's thoroughly practical means of accelerating the manifestation of the objective. Quoting from the book I Can, here is an infallible mental yardstick. Like the lineal yard, which has three parts or 3 feet, so too has this mental yardstick three parts. We might call them phases. You can successfully use it in attaining objectives of all sizes, from small, comparatively unimportant objectives up to large and vitally important ones. Here are the three phases of the I Can mental yardstick. The first phase is to have an objective and be specific. Know exactly what it is you want. If it is a business of your own, be specific. What kind? Manufacturing, wholesale, retail, mail order, and so forth. If it is a better job you wish, be specific. Know what kind of a job and with what type of a firm. List all the resistances standing between you and the attainment of your objective. It might be lack of time to prepare yourself, lack of money to get started, or lack of experience. List every resistance you can think of. This brings you to the third and final phase of the mental yardstick, a plan of action which will enable you to hurdle all resistance and attain your objective. Apply this mental yardstick to past success and failure, and you'll learn why you succeeded or why you failed. You will also know that in the future, with this mental yardstick, you will always score a success. How to build a magnetic personality. The word personality is taken from the word person. It is that something which distinguishes one from another. There are good personalities, there are bad personalities. A magnetic personality is not something you see, but something you feel. It is a combination of traits of the type which attract people to you. One might not possess physical beauty, yet radiates such magnetism from within that he or she actually becomes beautiful in the eyes of others. Permit me to relate a few of the characteristics which either add to or detract from a magnetic personality as described in Ben Sweetland's powerful book, I Can. There are few things which detract more from a likable personality than timidity. Declare to yourself that you like people and like to be with people and talk to people. Your timidity will soon fade away. The one with a mind of fear and worry is not magnetic. You can use your creative mind to help you overcome these two enemies. With your permission, it will guide you in thought and action so that you can eliminate the cause of your fears and worries. Those who indulge in self-pity repel more than they attract. Count your blessings. Be grateful for what you have and know that you can master conditions instead of being mastered by them. You will soon lose your self-pity. Are you considerate of others? Think of all the magnetic people you know, and you'll find that they think of your interests before they do their own. Have you lots of friends? You can have, if you remember the truth, to have a friend, be a friend. Never hold a grudge. Be just as quick to forgive others as you would expect them to forgive you. Finally, become personality conscious. Know you have a magnetic personality because you're doing everything necessary to create one. Your normal lifespan. We have so fairly accepted 70 years as our lifespan that most of us, in anticipation of the approaching deadline, begin to let down after we pass the age of 50. If human beings had a lifespan in keeping with all other forms of life, it would be at least 125 years. Then why do we appear so old when in the neighborhood of the 70s? Here again, we can refer to our fateful creative mind explained earlier. After we pass the age of 50, we begin holding mental pictures of age. We see ourselves growing old. We actually look for and expect signs of senility. The creative mind, accepting all of these mental pictures as instructions, proceeds to hasten our natural aging process, with the result that we actually do show definite signs of age. Listen to the words of Ben Sweetland, a septuagenarian who is still young. If you establish in that loyal creative mind of yours the fact that your lifespan will be at least 125, and you begin to live accordingly, you will find that instead of 70 being the old age of youth, it is the youth of old age. Develop a youth consciousness. Think of yourself as being young, both in mind and body. Remember, your body is continually renewing itself. If you hold mental pictures of youth and strength, your new cells will reflect youth and strength. Live in the future. Keep your mind on coming events and your participation in future activities, not on the imaginary good old days. Acquire a taste for the beautiful. Train yourself to think in terms of beauty. Make a friend of your mirror. Look at it with a happy smile, and a happy smile will come back to you. How to develop a powerful memory. To quote from ICANN, there is no such thing as a bad memory. Our creative minds retain everything seen, heard, and read from the time we arrive on this earth until we depart. That which we think of as a bad memory is our inability to bring into consciousness at will facts which we have with us in our creative minds. Developing a good memory is simply a matter of building a consciousness that you have a good memory. Instead of thinking in terms of, I have a bad memory, know that you have a good memory, that it will serve you at all times in bringing into consciousness facts held in your creative mind. Do you remember faces but not names? This is natural, since you see a face for a long period of time, yet hear the name but for a fleeting moment. Here's a Ben Sweetland lesson in memory development. When introduced to another, fix his name in mind. Learn how it is spelled. Mention it frequently. Practice will help you to develop a good memory consciousness. Instead of writing down a shopping list, fix it in your mind, knowing that you will remember. See how quickly you can memorize a poem and know that you will remember it. Do not associate memory with age and think that it is natural for a memory to fade as years roll by. Memories do not fade. Develop your powers of observation. We all see, but not everyone observes. Think about the things you see, and you'll be astonished to discover how long they will remain with you. Learn these lessons well and rejoice, because you have a good memory. Conversation and public speaking. We all like to be good conversationalists, yet very few of us think we are. Most anyone can become a good conversationalist if he will follow these simple steps from ICANN. Here they are. First, gain a consciousness that you are a good conversationalist. Have no doubt about it. In other words, think in terms of, I am a good conversationalist. Two, add to your storehouse of knowledge through newspapers, magazines, radio, and television. Keep yourself informed. Three, ask questions. This is a good way to keep conversation flowing. Four, be a good listener. It is just as important to listen as it is to talk. Give the other fellow a chance. Five, add variety to a conversation. Do not pursue a subject until your listeners tire of it. Six, do not hog the conversation. A conversation is not a monologue. Seven, practice voice expression. A speaking voice can be musical. Watch your modulation and articulation. 8. Give warmth to your voice. Love in your heart will put warmth in your voice. According to Ben Sweetland, public speaking is merely a one-sided conversation. Observe these few rules, and you will find that public speaking is not difficult at all. You will not have stage fright if you think of your audience as friends. We're never afraid of talking to friends. Do not try to cover more than three subjects in a talk. Your listeners will remember these few points, but might become confused if they try to remember more. Think of the three phases of your talk as three stories. Then you will not need a complete manuscript, you'll be able to recall each story through the use of simple reminder notes. How to make good in the field of salesmanship. Salesmanship is one of the most thrilling occupations on the face of the earth, if it is approached as a profession instead of a job. 60% of all people are dependent, directly or indirectly, on salesmanship for a living. Consequently, Ben Sweetland feels it fitting to include a few thoughts about salesmanship. He maintains that most anyone can make good in the field of selling if he will remember three important facts. First, a salesman sells himself before he sells his product or service. This being true, he must develop the type of personality which attracts people to him. The thought previously expressed on the subject of building a magnetic personality will help in this particular point. Second, the prospect usually wants that which is being offered. If he's driving an old automobile, naturally he would like to have a new model. If he is living in an inadequate home, he would undoubtedly prefer to live in a modern home. All of which brings us to the third fact. Why doesn't the prospect buy? The answer to this question is, if he does not buy, it is because he has not been able to sell himself on making the purchase. This means that the real selling is on the part of the prospect. He must sell himself on the wisdom of buying. Therefore, the salesman will not devote his time to telling the prospect how good his product is, but how much the product will benefit the prospective buyer. Self-confidence, enthusiasm, and happiness are three essential qualities for the salesman who is determined to make good in this profession. Implant in your creative mind the thought that you are a great salesman. Repeat it morning, noon, and night. As the thought takes root, your creative mind will direct you in thought and action, making you a great salesman. Your enthusiasm and happiness will follow as a natural consequence. How to get a better job. Many times, when we wish for a better job, we do not mean that at all. What we really want is a job in which we can be happy, and one which provides sufficient income on which to live comfortably. In a surprisingly large number of cases, such a job is right where we are. If one cannot find happiness in his present job, it is unlikely that he will find it in any other. Before seriously considering a change of jobs, follow these suggestions found in ICANN. Have a little talk with yourself. Ask a few questions such as, do you like the company for which you work? Do you like the merchandise made or sold by the company? Do you like the company's management? Do you get along well with those with whom you work? Are you always punctual? Do you enjoy the work you're doing? If not, why not? Do you constantly strive to improve your work? Are you frequently off on sick leave? Does your salary or wages enable you to live comfortably? Would you really like to leave the firm for which you work? One employee who asked himself these questions learned many things. He had not been getting along well with others because he had not been making himself friendly to them. He had not received any promotions because he had not been doing any more than he had been paid for. When he started to become enthusiastic over his job in the company he worked for, he not only received many substantial increases in salary, but he now feels he has just about the finest job in the country. He is radiantly happy. If after careful reflection, you sincerely feel that your company cannot give you just the kind of job you want, select a few companies of the type with which you would like to become associated. Then, with well-prepared letters, let them know just what you feel you can do to be of the greatest assistance to them. How to build a business of your own. Find a need and then fill it. This is the magic formula for building a business, says Ben Sweetland. Successful business ventures are based on ideas. The clothes you wear, the house in which you live, the car you drive, all resulted from ideas. You've heard people say, that idea can't be very good or someone would have thought of it before. That statement isn't true. The more ideas conceived, the greater will be the opportunity of creating new and better ideas. If you're interested in finding a good idea for a business, make use of your creative mind. Know that you will be guided in your thinking, that your mind is fertile and will bring practical ideas of great value into your consciousness. Your creative mind may suggest the field of personal service, or perhaps manufacturing or retailing. After you conceive an idea of merit, consider the steps which will lead you to a prosperous business. If you're going into manufacturing, will you manufacture the item or have it made for you? If you're going into sales, will your business be wholesale, retail, or direct selling? If you desire to open a personal service business, how needed is it? What is your competition? Will you need to relocate? All of these questions must be answered before you open your doors for business. Another important item is money. Have you sufficient capital to enable you to get the proper start? If not, outline a practical program of saving so that you will build a solid foundation for your own business. Perhaps most important of all, says Dr. Sweetland, is to create an enthusiastic confidence in yourself. Enthusiasm to the point where the diligent work necessary for building your business will be downright fun. How to Master Bad Habits. This chapter in ICANN relates the author's formula for breaking undesirable habits. The ease with which you conquer these habits depends entirely upon your attitude toward them. If you try to stop a habit with a feeling that it will be difficult because it is so deeply entrenched, it will be difficult. However, once you acquire a sense of self-mastery, the problem can be solved. According to Ben Sweetland, the mastery of all habits begins with the mastery of your creative mind. Once you ally yourself with this powerful force that is within you, the first step toward mastering habits has been taken. Secondly, you must form a deep, vivid disgust for the habit you wish to eliminate. Do this by thinking of all the undesirable effects the habit has on you, your family, and associates. Conjure up these effects graphically in your mind until they far supersede the imagined pleasures of the habit. Then call on your creative mind to remind you constantly that the habit will be easy to break. Next, Dr. Sweetland urges you to set up definite steps toward breaking the habit. Experience has proved that a gradual elimination of the habit is more practical than a single complete succession. Set up a timetable for decreasing the habit on a day-by-day basis, lengthening the periods of abstinence until all desire for the habit is lost. Along with a step-by-step plan, set your sights on a substitute, something that you can look forward to. If your habit has cost you money throughout the years, then decide to acquire something you have always wanted with the money you will save by breaking the habit. When you conquer the habit, you will enjoy a sense of well-being and become more secure in the knowledge that you are the master of your own self. Benefits will follow as does night unto day. Your marriage can be happy. Many years ago, when acting as a marriage counselor, Dr. Sweetland developed an unfailing formula for happy marriage in the form of what he called My Ten Commandments for a Happy Marriage. Thousands of marriages have proved happy as a result of them. The commandments are repeated here for the purpose of helping you to check your own marriage. 1. Keep yourself sold to each other. You created a good impression before marriage. Continue to do so after marriage. This is easy to do, and the rewards are great. 2. It is more blessed to give than to receive. In giving, do not be guided by what you might receive in return. Happiness comes from giving happiness. 3. Marriage should not destroy individuality. Entering marriage is a partnership, not ownership of one individual by another. A yoke around the neck soon begins to chafe. 4. Never pry into the affairs of your mate. Pockets, handbags, letters, and dresser drawers should be private to their owners. Suspicion creates inharmony, which can have an unhappy ending. 5. Never retire at night with any differences existing between you. A good night kiss should be a must in every home. This prevents little differences from growing into big ones. 6. Compliment each other every day. Giving sincere compliments each day trains you to look for the good things in your mate instead of otherwise. The importance of this commandment cannot be overestimated. 7. Never permit jealousy to enter your home. When jealousy steps in, love walks out. Jealousy and love will not remain together. The more you trust your mate, the more the trust will be deserved. 8. When separated through circumstances, write real love letters. After a couple has been married a few years, an occasional love letter will keep the spark of romance burning brightly. 9. Operate on a budget basis. Money troubles will often disturb the harmony of the home. Handle your finances sanely. Earn a little, spend a little, save a little. You can be generous with each other, yet thrifty. 10. And finally, be good to your in-laws. There are two sets of them. If you show love and respect for your in-laws, your mate is more likely to be as considerate. In-laws are real people.
This is Ben Sweetland. You have just listened to a digest of my book, I Can. I'm sure you enjoyed the message and that you'll immediately begin applying the principles to your own life. Thousands of letters have been received from persons of all types giving powerful testimony to the value and benefits found in I Can. Someday, I may have such a letter from you. However, a word of caution. The time-tested and proved message you have just heard will be of little value unless you make use of it. Do not put it away to be forgotten. Play at least one side of I Can every day for several weeks. Follow its suggestions for setting goals and changing habits. Soon you'll realize that you're approaching life with a new sense of happiness and well-being. As you develop your magnetic personality through the application of the principles outlined in I Can, and when you learn the power of your creative mind, new vistas will open as you fully appreciate this key to life's golden secrets. May I suggest that you secure either a copy of my book, I Can, or my newest one, I Will, or perhaps both. I congratulate you for thinking enough about your own personal success. It will provide you the incentive to make your life outstandingly successful. This is Ben Sweetland reminding you that success is not a destination, it's a journey.